Welcome to Nowhere to Run with Christopher White.
Chris in Tennessee, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey everyone, welcome to Nowhere to Run. My name is Chris. Thank you for tuning in. You can go to the website, which is nowheretorunradio.com, and you can email me there, or you can email me at chris@conspiracyclothes.com. And I'm going to play an interview that I did last night with truthloveandfreedom.org. It's a radio show on the Revere Radio Network, revereradio.net. We talked about Zeitgeist and a few other issues, actually. So you can check them out at truthlovefreedom.org on the Revere Radio Network. And I also will have a video coming out later on tonight sometime to the Rant to the Truthers. I think I'll call it Rant to the Truth Movement. And it should be on the YouTube site and other places later on tonight. So check that out. I'm really excited about it. So if you get a chance to watch it, it should be on YouTube channel, youtube.com/nowheretorun1984, called Rant to the Truth Movement. Okay, here is the interview. Thank you, guys.
First of all, I just want to talk about the movie in general, what your opposition is to sections of the movie. Now, there's three parts in part one. I'm assuming that only the first part was the part you had concern with. Is that correct?
Yeah, I didn't really have any trouble with the 9/11 or the Federal Reserve part. I mean, on the, as far as addendum goes, you know, I think it's there were some issues with the Federal Reserve issue there. There were some kind of just minor inaccuracies and things like that. Mm-hmm. But mainly it's the first part. And it was actually, ironically, the reason that I even knew to challenge it was because of Dyer Wolf used to say on his radio program all the time that, you know, Quetzalcoatl was the same as Jesus and all this stuff. And I kept listening to it. And I was like, man, one day I'm just going to really look into that. And then I actually did. And this was before the first Zeitgeist came out, and I found out that was – I wrote a big thing up to him and sent it to him. I was like, look, man, this is all wrong. This is – like that never happened, and I sent him all this stuff. And then in the process, I found out that it wasn't true in regard to a lot of gods. I mean, that those stories didn't appear until after they were later merged with, you know, the Christianity, which they apparently couldn't control, and they did put a lot of their mystery religion into it later. But The issue was, like, so that's, I guess, why I was able to see it right at the beginning, and that's why a lot of the stuff out there, a lot of the just original forum posts and stuff were some of the first kind of opposition to it, and that's, so I guess that's where it all started from, and Zeitgeist Challenge and all that.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So I saw your film that you put out, Breaking Down Zeitgeist 1. You know, I think pretty much anybody who has seen them knows where you're coming from, obviously. But let's talk about the addendum here real quick, because that just came out. I don't know if you fully investigated it yet or put anything out about that, but I just kind of want to get your insights. What did you think about that, his response to Zeitgeist 1 and his plan? It sounds somewhat familiar, does it not?
Sure. Well, actually, I did. I wrote the article along with my friend Frank Lordy, Theosophy, Socialism, and the New World Order that Alex Jones picked up and went back crazy. You know, he went totally crazy after the day after that Peter Joseph interview. Uh-huh. And so he posted our article on InfoWars. It just went crazy.
Oh, wow.
And so as far as I'm concerned, that was a huge breakthrough, and it actually ends up being something that is very negative for, I mean, look, I don't think that, I'm not saying the Peter Joseph or the Venus Project is in on it necessarily or anything like that. I mean, there's a possibility, but for the most part, I think it's a mindset. Like you were talking about the Venus Project issue. I heard you know saying, well, you got those on with that. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Saying, I wonder if their views are the same as the producers. I really do think that they're the main thing that was there for, and it could have been them. It probably could have been anybody, but they needed, like in Karl Marx's whole situation, they needed a utopia idea to point. They needed something. If it wasn't that, it would have been something else, you know?
Right, right.
And I really believe that this whole thing doesn't even start until after there's, you know, Order Ab Kaio and all that stuff. I think there has to be a major, major cataclysm, and I think a new paradigm shift that will, like, you know, get a world, the world government, get patriotism for a world government. Mm-hmm. And that's, we're not anywhere near that yet. So I think this is just a very early seed planting in that idea. I don't think that any of it was really intended to be.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Well, let me ask you something. I mean, maybe, do you think that, let me be straight here. Do you think that that Peter Joseph is more as an infiltrator or an agent, or do you think that he just happens to have adopted these belief systems? I mean, where are you coming from on that? Because I've heard people accuse him of being that, actually.
Sure. Well, you know, I don't have any information on him one way or another, so I really don't have an informed opinion on it. I don't see – I could see it being either way. I know it, because it is very possible, you know, people do, you know, believe – I mean, trust me, I know people believe the Maxwell Sarian stuff like it's, you know, a serious, serious religion, and they fight it. Uh-huh. So, I mean, he could believe that and just be a true believer. Or, I mean, I also know that, you know, you read some of that stuff, you know, about like Svali and the kind of things that these people are, you know, how they are. It's really interesting stuff because, I mean, I could see it both ways, but I don't think I've ever insinuated that Peter right. Joseph was or anything like that. But okay. I think a lot of times one thing about this whole system we call the New World Order is mm-hmm. sometimes we're being indoctrinated to be a part of it. Uh-huh. And so we don't even – so sometimes we are furthering the agenda never knowing that we have been trained to – like it's kind of like Stockholm Syndrome, you know. We're being trained to love it.
Right.
And so a lot of the people are just doing what they've been subtly trained to do, and they have no idea. So a lot of these ideas about you're COINTELPRO, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the day, you know, they're trying to make us all New World Order, you know.
Right, right. It's part of – it's a philosophy, so it definitely is going to be in more people's brains without them – you know what I'm saying? With having the full sure. intent of deceiving. Go ahead.
I have a question for you about the religious – the beginning of the first movie. I just thought, my impression in watching it was that he was just making, you know, tons of claims based on thin air and nothing at all. And I've had the same experience that you have, where there was a time in my life where I heard these things and I'm like, oh my gosh, like all these other religions had baptisms and resurrections and virgin births. And then, you know, I looked into it and it's like, oh, no. They actually didn't. It's just that if you say they did, it sounds really convincing. And what I want to know is, with something like this, it doesn't seem like there's ever going to be... It seems like this kind of thing comes up all the time, but there's nothing to build it on. What? How will that ever succeed as a philosophy? Or as a religious belief?
I think that, you know, this is what I honestly believe, that and I know it's probably going to discredit everything else I say, but... I think that there will be a time where there's going to be, as Kissinger and Reagan kind of said, you know, whether it's real or promulgated, as Kissinger said, an alien threat. Mm-hmm. When I think that or alien brothers come here to save us from our evil New World Order oppressors, I can see that too. But in either case, it will be such a incredible paradigm shift in the world. You can turn Joe Plummer into, you know, new age, you know, crystal roller overnight. And so I see that it doesn't even matter what is true or untrue. I see a lot of this deception that the so-called truth movement believes being so easily refuted, but so tightly held as a dogma
right.
that they just wouldn't let go even if you proved it to them, that I see the validation of Sitchin, even though Sitchin can't be right because of the translations and the SitchinIsWrong.com. I don't know if you've even looked into that,
mm-hmm.
but it'll still validate him if aliens show up. Then everybody's like, well, hey, it's true anyway. I don't care if he's, you know, wrong or whatever. And so I honestly think that's the thing that's going to really make us volunteer to give up our borders, volunteer to give up our national sovereignty, our constitution, our everything else. We'll all be doing it with a grin on our faces when it's and be celebrating our, you know, defeat of Christianity and all this other stuff.
Now, you believe like that aliens are going to come and it's going to be the thing that kicks us into the New World Order?
I don't know. The definition of aliens is really let me back that up. I don't think it necessarily has to be aliens landing on the White House lawn or anything. It could mm-hmm. be any number of things. They could find something, quote-unquote, in ancient – in our ancient past. They could find something on another planet. They could do any number of things, either real or not real.
Right.
I think there's enough things that are true that that we've been kind of, you know, that we don't know, that they could actually use something true in order to fool us, or they could use something that they totally fabricate. But in either case, I think that it's something that I see clearly them trying to do with what's being shown to us on the Discovery Channel, History Channel, Sci-Fi Channel every day, you know, we're getting subtly indoctrinated into that idea to be ready to accept it. The movie Contact is a really good example. If you see that whole idea of, like, who was the terrorist in that movie? You know,
right.
it was the Christians, because they've been proven wrong, even though the Bible would never exclude the possibility at all.
Okay. Because you watched the Alex Jones conflict, no doubt. I'm sure you've seen that, right? With him,
sure, with
Peter Joseph. I'm trying to get an interview with Peter Joseph too, because I definitely have some questions for him. You know, the thing that blows me away, and I guess this is kind of like a little unique thing with me, is that exactly what he proposes is all along what I thought the New World Order was. And, you know, a lot of people kind of, like, it seems like people are more going along the line of an Alex Jones version of the New World Order, where it's just a total police state. I don't see it that way. I see it taking on the form of an enlightened society. You know, like, you talk about, oh, they're going to put fences up and not let everybody go everywhere. But no, the people are going to be like, yeah, let's not go over there, because that's land that we need to protect. It's to maintain our species. You know what I'm saying? People have this mentality that there's just this tyrannical force that's just going to overtake society and totally wipe the slate of any sign of freedom other than what they dictate to us. And I don't think it's going to be that way, because, I mean, I think they're pretty smart at this point. They know that if they were to do that, that they would fail, because people would, you know, people would rebel. But it's that whole boiling a frog concept. Mm. You know, you do it slowly and people don't really notice it happening. And that's kind of what's been going on. They only go so far as we allow them to go. And then they do the whole two steps forward, one step back thing, but they're still heading in that same direction. And, like, you know, like, and you see it, because all they're doing is they're forming these groups and they're going around preaching, hey, let's, you know, do this in the name of, you know, whatever idealism. And most of the time it's a liberal idealism, but it's an idealism nonetheless. And people are just like, yeah, you know, and they're embracing it. You know what I'm saying? And I see the New World Order being more or less of a what they would consider an enlightened society, a utopia vision, and one where there is no this and that. And then basically he pretty much laid out kind of what I imagined it being. You know, like, I think the problem is that a lot of people think that because we know that, you know, there's an occult influence there, you know, and he even said that in the interview with Alex Jones. There's definitely an occult influence. There's occultism there, and he had a different take on what it is. But I think that what we can kind of see is that they have this utopian vision in mind. They think it's going to be a great world, not a world of tyranny. They really think it's going to be the best for all of us. We just don't know it yet. You know what I'm saying? That we're all going to be. And I think that's to some degree it's true. It's kind of going to be a utopian society. And I don't think Peter Joseph really gets that, because what he's proposing is what he thinks is the opposite of what other people think, which is that it's going to be this tyrannical police state. You know what I'm saying? He thinks that the world is actually headed in that direction, and his solution is going to contradict that, when in fact it seems to be – I don't think he really realizes that that's exactly what they're preaching. It's not the police state that of Alex Jones. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I don't know. I think it seems that when I talk to you, like, you've studied a lot in the occult. I've listened to some of your stuff. You know about Blavatsky and Bailey. And if you go through and you read his sources, for example, in the Zeitgeist movie, there are a lot of suspicious sources there. I mean, and getting to Maxwell, for example, he has Maxwell, you know, talking throughout the whole movie practically, and a lot of his material, even when he was quoting, what's the guy's name? Let me see, Massey. I don't think it's because he knew of him. I think it's because he heard it from Maxwell. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I think
that's disturbing to me too. I mean, because he had to, at least when he was referencing all that stuff and he was trying to find the sources for a lot of the claims that he made, he must have known that they didn't add up. I mean, he must have known that Horus wasn't born on December 25th or was crucified. And when he actually, I mean, if he could have found that original source, he would have found it, you know. But as far as your and he would have put it there, but instead he, like, quotes, you know, around it,
right,
or
exactly,
you know, references around it. And so that's suspicious that he knows. He had to have known to some degree, because you know that he tried to find the
original
source.
That's what I said in the last show too. I was like, how can you go through and quote Blavatsky and not know her connection to the New World Order
agenda?
It's
so weird. It's like people just believe. I think people just, like, believe Blavatsky when she says that she got this information from somewhere that basically you're never going to get. And they just take that as okay, and we're not going to get any farther back. But we believe that she saw the sources. You know, I mean, that's how I always that's how I feel about it.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. The thing about Blavatsky is it's just it's really, really mind blowingly like genius. There's no way around that. It's just like it's almost so like impactful that that's why it has these devotees about it because mm-hmm. it's like it really. I really do think that there was you know some that she probably got it you know from some. You know, whatever.
Other source.
Occult
yeah.
source. Yeah. And so that's why it's so smart.
Yeah, I'm not very superstitious. So to answer your
bigger question, I think it's very important because the whole thing about this, looking around trying to figure out what this is all about, you have to figure out what their motivations are because if you just have an idea that maybe their motivations are police state, total control, eugenics, whatever, and I'm not trying to beat up Alex Jones about it because I think that that's just where he's going with what he can prove. I think that if you really asked him what they thought, you know, he might have something different. But ultimately, it does come back to a belief system, and I don't think it's just about this new Atlantis that they think it's a utopia. I think that's part of it. I think that's what's sold to the kind of mid-level or upper middle class of the group. And I do think there's a group that knows about this, and they are legion as it were. But I think that the ultimate thing is that they are the reason it's like this hive mind mentality is mm-hmm. the question, and you have to understand what that motivation is, what that end game is, or we're all going to be just swinging in the wind, you know,
and just.
And we could be going along with it while we think we're fighting it. And so that's why I think I get frustrated with a lot of this stuff. And I think that's why you seem to be frustrated.
Yeah, I'm pretty frustrated because, like, you know, I basically became aware of all this. I'll give you a little brief history on me real quick. My wife was in the New Age when I met her. She was my girlfriend at the time. She was, like, going to these, like, little things where they were, like, listening to channeled beings and all kinds of weird stuff, right? It was up in Mount Shasta, which happens to be one of the major points of enlightenment, even mentioned, I think, in the esoteric agenda. And, you know, and I lived a distance away from there. I met her at a rave, believe it or not. But anyways, I went up and just hung out with her, and I was, you know, we were totally in love, and she was introducing me to New Age, and I was an atheist most of my life. I had a little, you know, little brief encounter with Christianity. But I considered myself more of a Buddhist. I didn't even know really what I was. I just kind of, you get kind of indoctrinated with these really mystical beliefs, like I learned from TV and stuff like that. And that's kind of where I was. And I was investigating things, and I decided to, you know, give it a shot, and I checked it out. You know, and for personal reasons, I decided not to fully go the New Age route, but she was still into it, and I was okay with that. So I just started investigating it and finding a lot of interesting sources. Now, along the same time, I was getting very political. Not connected to the religious stuff at all, just political in and of itself. You know, I was kind of liberal. I would say I'm a hardcore liberal at the time. I even consider myself somewhat of a communist, and you know, anything anti-American. And somebody my friend suggested a book to me, which was Behold a Pale Horse, and I read that book, and I had never in my life ever heard of an organization called Freemasonry. What was even weirder about it is that I had a history in my family of Freemasons. I didn't even know they belonged to it. And what's even more weird is I was like living not too far away from when I passed them all the time, and I never noticed them. And so I read that book, and all of a sudden I started paying attention. And then not only that, all of a sudden all the New Age books that I was looking into, Freemasonry kept coming up in it. Over and over and over again. And I decided to start investigating into it. And what I found out is that most of the founders of New Age movement were Freemasons. So I started investigating Freemasonry. Now, what I've come to the conclusion is that most of them are atheists. I think that's a little unique for people because a lot of people believe that they actually believe in Lucifer. I don't believe that they do. You know, that's arguable. Everybody has an opinion on that. But but you know, when I started, you know, looking into William Cooper Moore, and you know, I listened to his whole Mystery Babylon series, which it wasn't until years afterward because I didn't have access to a shortwave radio, so I never got to hear it. And I got an internet, you know, years later I was able to get the internet and a computer, and I was able to find it and listen to it. But during that time, I did a lot of research on Freemasonry and bought a lot of books at secondhand bookstores, including Morals and Dogma, and read it from cover to cover. And, you know, I came to my conclusions about what was going on in the world, which is pretty much along the same lines as William Cooper when I listened to his Mystery Babylon series, and it blew my mind because it was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe that. I mean, to me, it was confirmation that everything I had studied was correct. Now, you know, I'm here. It seemed like for a while people knew what was going on. But after William Cooper died, man, it seems like, you know, Jordan Maxwell's and all these other guys who are all coming out here, they all have bought into this idea that there's some kind of esoteric knowledge that they can they can get. And
can you imagine if any of that, if there would be a Michael Tessarian, there would be a Jordan Maxwell on the scene doing the, or David Icke on the scene, if Bill Cooper was still the head, was the Alex Jones of this movement, do you think that we'd even have a chance?
Hell no. And I, you know, I just think that he would have shot them down in a heartbeat because facts are facts. You know, and that's the thing is that nobody ever challenges these people. Like, you're the only person that I've actually seen who has had the balls to put out a film saying, look, there's all these connections that you need to account for. You're sitting here teaching this theology as if it's a fact. Don't say that you're not. You are. You're teaching it as if it's a fact, and you have all these people following you. Now, what about the connection to Bailey and Blavatsky and this? They were all promoting the New World Order. So how can you claim to be against it when here you're promoting the exact religion that the New World Order is born of? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a very frustrating situation. And then this whole Zeitgeist movie comes out, and you know, now I hear everybody, you know, people are calling in, even Revere. I heard somebody on 33rd Parallel the other night called in and was basically, you know, verbatim laying out the Zeitgeist addendum as like the answer to all our problems. And I'm just,
you know,
like,
what the weirdest thing is, like, people are now, especially since the day after the Peter Joseph interview, and Alex picked up that article, and then all of a sudden, you could just see he got it. For the first time, all of a sudden, he is talking about, he realized it was Alice Bailey, it was Theosophy, it was Blavatsky, it was all this. And that article laid out, I mean, it put it right in there. Jordanus Maximus and Michael Tessarian are implicated in that article that he posted on InfoWars. And that's the day after, well, 2 days after he had Michael Tessarian on.
Right.
So, and you could tell he said, it's like, he did his quote research, which obviously just read the article and watched the movies in the article. But right. then he was saying that he just wanted to throw up. And I was just like, oh my gosh, because this is everything that I wanted to, you know, everybody's got lots of stuff to say about Alex Jones, but I mean, the guy's got the ear of millions of people. And all of a sudden, overnight, everybody figured out that the New World Order is tied to this Theosophy situation in the UN, and they have a religion, and that religion wants to discredit a particular religion for a very practical reason.
Right.
And so it was like overnight, everything was like, oh, man, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Right. And, you know, not the thing that's really interesting to me, too, is that ever since – I mean, I wouldn't consider myself part of the community. I never listened to Alex Jones, honestly. I couldn't stand listening to it. I the only person I think I ever really committed myself to researching was Bill Cooper. Most everybody else I wasn't really interested in, and I wasn't really – too active in the whole movement. I was just doing my own research, reading my own books, trying to come to my own conclusions about things. I don't like to be influenced by other people too much. And
did you see my? I'm sorry. Did you see the movie, the William Cooper debunks Jordan Maxwell thing?
I did. Very well done, bro. I totally agree with you. And I see, the thing about it is, when I listened to it, I knew that. You know, I knew that. I didn't even make the funny thing is, I heard about Jordan Maxwell after the fact. I never realized that Jordan Maxwell was one of his guests. It didn't occur to me. I didn't make the connection. There was just some guy who came on and was talking about stuff, and I was just like, okay, no big deal. You know, this is all stuff I heard from Bill anyways, so I didn't really care, you know. And then all of a sudden, this guy, Jordan Maxwell, pops up everywhere, and everyone's all, Jordan Maxwell, this and that, and, you know, and I'm listening to his interpretation of the symbols, many of which I totally disagree with, because it's coming from the premise that there is some kind of knowledge that they have. That there is some kind of divine force, some kind of divine knowledge that these people have tapped into, and they're using it against us. I don't believe that. I don't believe there is any divine knowledge. I'm not a very superstitious person. I really ain't. I have a hard time with beliefs in like spirits and angels and things like that. It's my own thing. I was an atheist, so you know, I think that's probably born of that to some degree. I'm not anymore, but I don't express my religion to the public. It's not something I do.
Sure.
But you know. It's very frustrating to see the so-called truth movement, you know. I mean, they're just taking the bait, hook, line, and sinker with absolutely no research, because the minor amount of research, and this is why I'm suspect of Peter Joseph, because he is really, he's well-read. How could he not have made this connection? How can you sit there and talk about the New World Order as if it's disconnected from his religious beliefs when he's quoting people who promoted it?
And really, that's my contention with Maxwell too. I mean, maybe not that he's well read, but I mean, I think that he has read before. Mm-hmm. But the main thing about Maxwell is that if he indeed has been on the scene for 40 years and saying the kind of stuff he said, people have come up to him over after those talks and been like, "Hey, you know that that's not even logically possible, what you said earlier in the talk. I just, because some of that stuff, somebody, all it would take is for somebody of that particular ethnicity, depending on which one it was, it could be any number of ethnicities or, you know, backgrounds that just could walk up to them and say, hey, you know, that translation doesn't even make sense. You're, you know, essentially, you know, taking three languages and, but
right.
You know,
so.
So over that time, he's continuing to do the same thing. I mean, I don't know, but so mm-hmm. I just, yeah. As far as Peter Joseph goes, I really do think that, you know, there is a possibility that, you know, from hearing him on Alex Jones' show and stuff, and, I don't know the way that they. I don't know. I don't want to implicate him or anything like that. I just, because it could be either way, and I really don't have any idea. So it'd just be speculation.
Right. Right. Yeah. I understand. I don't like to accuse people either, but I am. My question to him is simple and straightforward. If you've read all these books, can you please justify or explain to me how you can sit there and promote a faith-based idealism that is the same idealism that has given birth to the New World Order, which you claim to be against? That's it. I just want to understand his logic behind that, because I just don't see how it makes sense. Other than the fact that, you know, I just, it's just very suspicious. I can't help but say that it's extremely suspicious. Now, you know, you've been doing this for a while, and I really want to see, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'd like to see a debate. What's going on right now, and I've talked about it on a couple of forums before, and it was actually met with a backlash. People are not interested in debate, and it seems like there's a tearing apart going on in the so-called movement of people who are trying to figure things out, and it seems like the environment of debate is being suppressed. You know, like, I obviously the Alex Jones, Peter Joseph form of debate isn't what I have in mind. Because, you know, I think at one point Alex Jones even resorted to, you know, making baby names, noises at him and stuff. You know? it was pretty odd, you know. It was not something that I have in mind. But would you agree that there needs to be, if we're really going to be seeking truth, that we need to, like, open up a debate of some sort, a correspondence. We're not just putting out videos about each other, but we're actually talking to each other and getting answers. I mean, if these people are so committed to spreading truth, I don't see how they could be opposed to this idea.
I think, though, that you might have the wrong idea of the commitment to spreading truth, because I honestly believe it's a very, very tiny, tiny fraction of people that are actually interested in that. And most people are just, you know, they might kind of join the, quote, movement because it seems counter to whatever is the mainstream. But then once they're in it long enough, then they're just going to counter that as its own mainstream. It's not based on anything real, and it's like they'll tend to just basically act in the way that they're always condemning, which is to follow one shepherd and just trust that person did the research and what they say is true.
Mm-hmm.
True, that's very true. But there are those people, that the very rare gems that are out there going wherever the truth leads them and are committed to finding it. And, you know, and that's the unique people that I think, you know, I'm gearing towards. But at the same time, I really do have, like, a heart for trying to tell everybody, hey, you know, we're being lied to, you know,
trying to tell
as many people as possible.
I mean,
about
it's just
that.
Like, if you see somebody laying down on the curb, you don't just walk past them, you want to help them, you know what I'm saying? And,
sure.
I think the stakes are pretty high here.
Too, is looking for, you know, trying to find solutions and ideas and everything, you know, in a positive way. And the whole gig about that is, I mean, that's what this whole thing is about, is the Zeitgeist thing, is somebody offered a solution,
mm-hmm.
And then they're like, well, the alternative is no solution. It's like, no, well, no, that's not what the alternative is. I mean,
exactly.
But the I think everybody is frustrated because, you know, okay, they want to do something about
right.
it, and this was something to do. But then at the end of the day, they have been poking us with a stick for so long about trying to make this a religion war. You know?
Right, right.
They've been poking people for so long, telling them to get mad at Christians. You know, Christians were the ones that did this and that and that. And, you know,
right.
And they
right.
won't. And they're building.
It's like, what
that
about
up, like,
the
own, like,
tyrannies that you guys had prior to the Rome? You know what I'm saying? I mean,
sure.
I think that Rome was one of their tyrannies, but that's my opinion. But I mean, think about, you know, Babylon, Rome, Greece. These were not like great places for everybody. You know, there was definitely slaves used, and, you know what I'm saying? It seems so hypocritical.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I guess at the end of the day, the solution to it is, you know, I think it's not that the system is impossible. It needs to be reworked. I mean, I think that, I mean, if we're talking, okay, we're all going to be here, in this together, you know, I think that the solution is trying to, I mean, the reason this got off track is because it was, the system was infiltrated and we stopped obeying the Constitution.
Right.
That's where it all broke down.
I mean,
that thing still is in the glass case somewhere, and nobody really took that away. I mean, until they publicly say burn the thing, that's still the rule of law, and we could all just go back to that, and everything would be fixed, at least here in America.
Right.
You know, whatever happens to the rest of the world, fine, but we got that thing, you know?
Right.
So it really, and we still have a political process, and there still is a chance to say, hey, these voting machines are bad. Let's, you know, wake these people up and get this all done. I mean, it doesn't have to be, oh, let's just throw the system away. I mean,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, you're a Christian. I mean, that's pretty much established, and I think you get a lot of criticism because a lot of what you do is faith-based, and people, you know, almost tend to, people who are not Christian tend to sometimes disregard it just because you're motivated by that. And my response to that is, it doesn't matter what your motivation is. You know what I'm saying? As long as your motivation is for the betterment of things, rather not, you know, it's welcome into the intellectual debate, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
And, you know, so, you know, here they are saying that, okay, in order to have this perfect world, we have to rid ourselves of religion, okay? That thing that's been pretty much established. It was even number one on his list of things to talk about in Zeitgeist. It was the basis of the film, as far as I understood
it. Oh, yeah.
You know, he made it sound like religion was to blame for the fact that people are stupid enough to fall for all these hoaxes.
But I would argue it was actually the destruction of Christianity is what he was really going for at
right,
the beginning
right.
there. More specifically.
Well, I think he was targeting
it. Listen to, like, the theosophy. I was just listening to Lucis Truss's little radio show that they do. And they do. It's always so veiled. They always say, you know, what we really need to do is just get rid of these tired old paradigms that are holding
right.
us back and
yeah.
outdated, and then they just, like, make it sound like it's just, you know, all of them.
Yeah.
But then they embrace every one of them except for one of them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's
right.
just odd.
Ultimately, it feels like it's really they're talking about the death of hundreds of millions of people, actually, if they just get down and admit it.
They're basically, yeah, they're, I mean, if you boil it down, like, that's what I want to say. Like, you know, where's the end of this? Because you're saying that in order for this existence, this new age, or, you know, as the addendum put it, you know, this new paradigm, they always have these new this, new that, and it's really exciting and everything. It's like a big bow of the future, right? With a good, nice big bow on the future. I don't know. You know, it seems like when you boil it down, it's like, dude, you're not going to get rid of people's belief systems. There's billions of people on this planet. You know, there's people who are still living in the middle of the jungle, you know, catching their food with spears and wearing leaves over their balls. You know what I'm saying? And then there's people who are
Absolutely.
Flying in and out of countries, like, you know, in private jets. There's no way you're going to influence that kind of change unless you were to do something drastic. And
historically speaking, every time you try to do what they're trying to do, no matter how good the intentions are
mm-hmm.
and how many rocket ships and stuff you show everybody, it's always historically ended with a mass grave and a gunshot in the back of the head.
That's right.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It just can't – there's no other logical way because people, you know, won't always follow it. And absolute power in that regard has to lend itself to that kind of absolutism
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, talking about utopianism, okay, they're saying, well, everybody would just let go of religion and adopt these ideas. We'd be very happy people from now on. Okay, well, if everybody was to convert to Islam, everybody would be happy from now on
yep.
if everybody wanted to, in fact, do that. If everybody wanted to convert to Christianity. If everybody was focused on living on Mars and thought that would be their happiness forever and ever, and they all were in one mind to do it, yes, that would create the happiness. That would create a utopian in the eyes of those people. And that's my whole disagreement with these utopian ideas, is that it doesn't leave room, number one, for decision, okay? Because you're not going to convince people to go along with your agenda. It doesn't matter how much you try. There are people on this planet who think wearing pink is the nicest color and other people with blue. And if, you know what I'm saying, if one person's idea of utopia is to wear blue, that person who's wearing pink is screwing it up. So he's either got to convince them, either through deception, through convincing them, and if that doesn't work, he has to kill them and get rid of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what it boils down to. And there's no way you're going to get everyone to agree, because everybody is an individual with a different idea of what a perfect world is. And as soon as these ideas of utopianism come up and they get these people excited, it always results in them going after the people who are, in their eyes, stopping their vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like right now, people are moving in that direction. They're moving into the direction that we need to rid ourselves of Christianity
yeah.
and religion in general. Where I think, you know, it's about freedom. Isn't it about freedom? You know, isn't it about, like, everybody
it's
just...
It's weird because it's, like, so historically... It's weird because the idea is that he's... If he's showing everybody that how the financial system broke and everything, mm-hmm. that's, like, the oldest thing in the world. I mean, even in the time, like, of Joseph was the whole situation when he was, like, basically the currency debunked, and then everybody went and gave them their ways of making money, which was their, like, livestock, and then just for grain. And then the next year or whatever, they gave him all their lands, and then the next year they gave them themselves, their slavery, all because they could control the currency. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's often said that socialism always bails out capitalism. So if you have this movie that's, like, showing everybody, look, because they can control the crash of the economy. That was, like, that's always been their plan. I mean, from reading the writings from time immemorial about the Illuminati, that's what they were going to do. They were going to crash the economy. Exactly. That was going to be the beginning of it. So if that's the case, then a movie that tells you why it crashed and then introduces a social system that says no religion is exactly what we see in history. I mean, they always introduce the new social paradigm with the religion is your enemy, and then again, historically, it always ends with a gun in the back of the head in front of a mass grave.
Right, and they wouldn't say that. But I guess it takes a degree of understanding history and having foresight. I just don't understand how Peter Joseph produced this film, having done all the reading that he's done, and still was not able to, like, see it.
There's not very many options as an answer to that question. I mean, just as, like, a huge egregious example of why... Obviously, he's either just completely delusional in believing what he's saying, or he's deliberately misleading, is, like, the way he throws around the word God's son and son of God, S-U-N, as if in other ancient languages, son and son, in the two different meanings were the same sound. I mean, it's so utterly ridiculous. He has to know that linguistic connection does not exist in ancient languages, you know? It's just a quirk of English.
I mean, is it just that, I mean, that's what I want to ask him. It's like, dude, are you knowingly deceiving people, or are you really just foolish enough to fall for this? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean,
because he seems like a pretty smart guy to me.
If you get a chance to read, her name is Svali, S-V-A-L-I. I don't know if you've seen anything about her, but she has extensive writings. She was a programmer, kind of like of the Nazi style trauma based mind control stuff that's really widely used in this, what I'll call the Illuminati system. It creates the ultimate, like, Manchurian candidate, but they have lots of different jobs and lots of different personalities, can carry out things with great plausible deniability. But anyway, she was a programmer. She was a programmer actually, but she does a lot of writing extensively on it. And one of the things about it is that she talks a lot about the character of the people, and in almost every case that they are people that really do believe and actually know about the system, like know about crashing the economy, know about bringing in the new system. And like Alice Bailey said, you know, the great one that cometh, that we're all awaiting, this one that comes. I was listening to the Lucius Trust podcast, or actually it's not a podcast, it was the radio show on Lucius Trust website, and they were like, and at the end it with like, and you know, when the great one that cometh should be here, you know, probably right after the financial crisis, like, oh, the Messiah, they said. And then there's like, oh yeah, the Messiah's coming. But then she was like, oh, we should tell our listeners that we're not talking about the Christian Messiah. I was like, oh yeah, we're not talking about the Christian Messiah. Another one. Yeah, right. He's coming real soon. Yeah. It's like, and then they're sitting on the economic and all these boards of the UN, and you know, like, it's just like, whoa, I mean, like, surreal land. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it is.
But anyway, my point was that if indeed these people are know what they're trying to do, and there is a great man. She was like mid-level in a vast system, you know, with very key parts in different places all over the world, especially, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, if these people know what they're doing, then he would fit the bill. A very highly intelligent person that was doing a particular job. It's like somebody trying to get the 33rd degree of Freemasonry. They have to do a great work for the order in order to really attain, at least according to Bill Cooper.
Yeah.
So
I have to be in agreement. Yeah. Anyways, the 33rd degree people are not people who just sat around and wore their badges of honor, you know, in Freemasonry. They are the people who did stuff. They wrote books and they, like, spread the gospel, if you will.
Sure.
The gospel of the occult. You know, and I did an interview with a Freemason, and, you know, I guess what it boils down to, what I thought was really interesting, is we'll get into the topics of Freemasonry, because the bottom line is this is all interconnected. You can't talk about New Age, you can't talk about Jordan Maxwell or Zeitgeist or anything without talking about Freemasonry, because as far as I'm concerned, Freemasonry is where it originates. And that's where all these people, like New Age, for example, if we're quoting Bailey and Blavatsky and all them, they're all people who I mean, Foster Bailey was the one who was a Freemason. Alice Bailey is the one that said through Freemasonry the New World Order would come. You know what I'm saying? And sure. Blavatsky often spoke about Freemasonry, and I think she was given an honorary degree in Freemasonry, which was very high, a very big deal for a woman to get that degree or that kind of recognition. So, you know.
It's interesting, though, how a lot of people like Crowley and others, and Manly P. Hall and others, got the honorary degrees of 33rd, and they came to it from just a pure desire to worship Lucifer, or in Crowley's case, you know, just straight up Satan, you know.
Right.
But they came to their conclusions. They had figured out the secrets of Freemasonry and earned top level degrees because at the top levels of Freemasonry, they revealed the object of their desire, as it were.
Right.
And I think that's why they got to keep telling people, oh, well, hey, you got another degree. Guess what? Everything you learned was a lie. Because I think that's because the ultimate form of spirituality is worship, and that's where all the power is. But they can't just get people to just worship Satan right out off the gates in the Blue Lodge. So they got to really, really increment that in order to actually get the seething power of Lucifer for writhing in your hands, as Manly P. Hall says. So
yeah, you know, I got to be honest with you. Like I hear that, and I've heard it before. I don't believe they worship Lucifer. Be perfectly honest with you. I think they use Lucifer as a symbol of worship because it's representative of Christian ignorance. They talk about how it's a mistranslation. You ever hear that? Lucifer being the only Latin word in the Bible, and that it was a mistranslation. It was actually referring to a king of Babylon, but it refers to light, and light is knowledge to them. And since Christians made an enemy of light and knowledge, it's supposed to become a symbolic of Christian ignorance. That's what I've understood to be from my studies. I believe that they're honestly atheists.
Yeah, definitely heard that. But I'm not going to argue with you on that case because I really haven't studied Freemasonry that well.
Uh-huh.
But one thing I have studied is Satanism, and I've really studied the actual. I honestly believe that our enemies of the New World Order is this other realm. And I think that it's you know, for like. Principalities and powers in another dimension, and so why some people focus their energies in studying the Jesuits, and some people study the Zionists, and some people study this. I'm really interested in studying that realm because I've seen, you know, you said the channelers and stuff like that, and I do see them wearing a lot of different masks, but always with the same central message, and so. I know that you're probably with a lot of disconnect there if you don't believe that exists, but you know, where there is a lot to be learned, I think, about this system and what the true motivations of it are by learning what their motivations are.
Right.
And then trying to see, and almost to catch them in lies and then back engineer why that lie even occurred to whoever that opened the door for to even listen to the lie in the first place.
Right, definitely. You know, and this is part of the whole mystery tradition. Like I saw the what is that girl's name? The one that, oh, jeez. I mean, where's that sources? The girl from Zeitgeist, you put out a thing about her, and she sent out a response back saying that none of her stuff was wrong. I'm trying to remember what her name is.
Oh, Acharya S?
Acharya S, yeah. Acharya S, I heard a response. You know, I think at a couple points during her little recording, she said, "It's a mystery." I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, it's just a mystery. Nobody actually put it on paper.
But it's pretty funny. Like I got to say, I've looked at all the different responses. I think you're the only one that actually came out and even made the claim that she's incorrect. And so I think that was pretty much a response directly back to you. I don't know if I'm wrong there, but it seems like it to me. I don't know.
I get that a lot. And the same thing with Cesari and I on Alex Jones' show. He was saying that all these debunkers, you know, he doesn't have any debunkers. He has one debunker, you know. So it's I get so many debunkers trying to, you know. Well, actually, he does now. He does have the Outlaws and the Illusion Forum guys. They're some foes of his for sure. So I take that back.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of them either. So it would be interesting to have you call him. What do you think about this whole Venus Project thing? Because we're gonna have him on next week.
You know, I don't. To me, I think I even put that in the movie that I did, the Venus connection as far as Lucifer goes. That could be coincidence. I mean, obviously, Venus, Florida. So I don't, you know, I think that's probably a red herring of sorts. So I almost would have taken that out probably. I mean, I think they could have moved there for that reason. But to me, I think that, like I was saying earlier, I think it could have been them. It could have been anybody else. They needed somebody to present a utopian idea with a technological anti-religious thing. If it wasn't them, it would have been somebody else. They don't necessarily have to be on it. He could be a true believer as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But then there's a possibility that they're not. But that's just my take at it as I stand on it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think we see eye to eye on a lot of things, and I feel like we're a dying breed here, bro. honestly.
Yeah.
Because it seems like more and more people are jumping on this bandwagon, and they're marching anti-New World Order, but at the same time promoting the same ideals. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, I think as I'm doing a movie about that right now. I hope to have it out maybe tomorrow or whatever. But that's what exactly I'm. It's called The Rant to the Truthers, except it's a edited version and a movie thing. But I don't know, man. It's really crucial because, as I said before, I think that we are all being indoctrinated into the system, and we don't even know that it's happening, and we think that we're fighting something that we're just helping.
Can I give an observation here? And I want to see if you agree with it, because I think as far as people out there, I think you probably see eye to eye with me more than anybody else I've seen out there that's out there these days. Sometimes I even wonder if William Cooper's old crew of people are still on the same page, because they're letting, you know, astrologers come to their meetings now and stuff. It's pretty weird.
Yeah, I wonder that too. Well, I'll say this real quick. I got the first episode of Mystery Babylon because I was trying to track back after I did the Jordan Maxwell thing. Mm-hmm. He mentioned there was one show before that. It actually was the first show of Mystery Babylon. I don't know if you saw that podcast, but I replayed it. It's not available anywhere on the internet. And he's actually uses Jordan Maxwell's book as the centerpiece for showing what the New World Order believes.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Really ridiculous. Yeah. But anyway,
good old time religion or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it wasn't just that movie that I did. It was another podcast. I haven't done a movie on it, but I just played it in the podcast. But yeah, so I was talking to the guys over there, and I was kind of explaining the situation. Like, yeah, I think he was using George Maxwell's stuff, and they were just kind of real blank about it. It's like, yeah, I was like, okay, maybe I'll just take it and run. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I think there needed to be some settling there of ideas, you know, of what he was really all about, because he influenced a lot of people, and I think that, you know, I trip out because, I mean, mainly – it seems like there's become so many gurus, I call them, in this movement. People that they, you know, people follow after, whether it be Alex Jones, David Icke, Maxwell, or Tsarion, or whatever. You know, I think that people have actually done the opposite, and they're being encouraged to do the opposite. I think these guys are enjoying a nice position of authority, and I think it's going to their head a bit, because I think one thing that I think I liked about William Cooper most, and it was probably the only reason I was willing to listen to the guy, was that he over and over and over again would say, do not believe me, get off your ass and do your own research. It's simple and plain. And you know what I'm saying? That made me go, okay, I will, you know? And I did. And so I was able to develop and read the ideas and the philosophies. And I got to admit, there was times where I almost thought I was going to join Freemasonry. I was like, you know, because they had me convinced on a lot of things. But I just kept going with it and reading and reading and reading, because I knew I was if this stuff was more complicated than I have devoted enough time to. But as I kept developing, reading it, I started being able to come up with arguments against their belief systems. You know what I'm saying? I started going, okay, this isn't right, and this is why I believe it isn't right. So when I get into a conversation with somebody like a Freemason, I can hold my weight. I can actually debate them, and in some cases I can win. Some cases, you know, it depends on the people. You know, we can boil it down to real essentials and get to the root of the conflict and ideas and why I disagree with them. And I don't feel like a lot of people, the so-called truthers, can do that, because all they've been doing is listening to their gurus. They haven't been reading the books. They know to quote the books because they've heard quotes from their gurus. You know what I'm saying? Sure. They've made boogeymen out of almost everybody, like Brzezinski, for example. If any of these guys were to sit down in a debate with Brzezinski and they didn't resort to just, you know, emotional, you know, spewing emotions about the New World Order and their agenda and stuff, I think that they would get their asses blown away in a debate because they have not developed an argument. They don't read the books.
And they're true believers of that too. You know, they've heard a lot of arguments against it. I can guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, I think with William Cooper, people that say do your homework, you really ought to do it. And at least with Maxwell, I mean, he never even gives any facts to back up anything anyway. So you got to do your homework with him. I mean, at least with Bill Cooper, he was giving you stuff.
Yeah.
But I do think. One unfortunate thing about Bill Cooper is that he didn't have access to a lot of information he had access to a lot of information, but he didn't have, it seemed like, the internet as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could have nipped a lot of things in the bud if he did, you know.
Right.
He said this before. I remember hearing him say, you know, a lot of this stuff, the more I look into it, the more confused I'm getting. And he had pretty much everything figured out on the Dying and Rising Gods, not till much, much later. But then later on, he did seem to get fooled a little bit with some of the other stuff. Mm-hmm. And he could have easily figured those out if he just had access to more information. But
yeah.
even his retort at that point was, you know what, I don't know. This is confusing, but I'm still sticking with my faith, you know?
Right,
that
right.
was like the whole thing. But, I mean, today, I mean, we don't even have to – I mean, almost don't have to have any faith. But the way I look at it is that people don't – a lot of Christians even don't have any faith in the first place. But they see something like Zeitgeist and just, like, get kicked in the stomach with it. And they're like, oh, well, man, that sucks. Like, I'm out – you know,
yeah,
out of here, you know? It's like, well hey, hold on now.
yeah.
Just check it out.
Yeah, you know, I don't like to talk about my personal faith, but I can say that, like – you know, my perception about religion in general is I don't really care what people believe in. I just believe in freedom. I believe we should all have the right to believe whatever we want. And you know, we should have a debate about things. I don't believe in, you know, if you're truly a truth seeker, I'm not talking about truther, somebody who marches around proclaiming that they know the truth. I'm talking about somebody who actually wants to know the truth and is willing to investigate it and try to figure it out and wants to know their real purpose here on this planet. You know, you cannot investigate because there's too many competing ideas. And I welcome to the table any ideas. And you have to do that because if you limit yourself to certain ideas and you limit yourself away from ideas, you could be limiting yourself away from the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed. I agree 100%. So, but in like in my case, you know, I definitely came from the whole, you know, I was a Sitchin Ike, you know, guy a decade ago, you know.
Really?
And it was only through studying this stuff and figuring this stuff out piece by piece. Mm-hmm. Now I've heard literally every argument against Christianity you can think of, you know. I mm-hmm. think there isn't one I couldn't even – I would be so surprised if I heard a new one, you know.
Right.
And I do hear it. That's a lie because I do hear them, you know, from time to time, and I learn new stuff all the time. But now it's just a matter of like, oh, well, I'll just go look that up. And it's like, oh, there it is. Okay, here you go. You know, mm-hmm. it's gotten to the point where my truth-seeking has been a foundation now. Mm-hmm. It's now not like an exclusiveness, but a welcoming of any critiques. But rather, it's because of that. Because I do think that truth is, at least in the nature of reality, is indeed closed. It's a closed circuit. You know, there is a real truth. I mean, just by definition, as far as the nature of reality, there is only one truth mm-hmm. in that regard.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So if everything. It becomes like a very important part of our foundation of our journey, you know.
Right.
It doesn't mean that anybody can say I found it or I'm anywhere near finding it because, you know, everybody comes to different things different ways. But it's definitely worthwhile to search, especially really being scrutinizing a religion. Just take one. You don't have to take Christianity first. Take another one and just say, let's see, you know. And
uh-huh.
and
you know, the only thing I wonder about, you know, this is kind of just personal, you know, and my perception is I've been through a couple different religious beliefs. I have a current religious belief. I am religious. I do believe there is a God, and I don't believe it's, you know, polytheistic or occult in nature. I really do believe in something, and I don't want to elaborate on what because I don't think it should matter. But even more so, while I'm willing to talk about religion, aside from the topic at hand, which is the New World Order and what's going on in the world, I won't join the two together, and the reason I won't do that is because I'm concerned that my belief will ostracize people from the truth of what's going on in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, ultimately, I would like to express my religious beliefs, and I think there's going to be a time for that. But right now, my biggest concern is to open a debate where we can together start to talk about various things. And we all come from a different position, but the environment right now seems very hostile towards that. It seems everybody just wants to be part of their own little clique, and they're all, like, engaging themselves in some kind of full frontal assault on one another. You know what I'm saying? And what I would like to see happen is people just say, you know what? I believe this, you believe that, but let's put our beliefs about these things aside and let's look at it from a purely humanistic viewpoint and see if these things add up for, you know what I'm saying? Because I think when you boil it down, yeah, to some degree it is a kind of a humanistic versus a religious concept war going on, and then the religious concepts at war with one another. But also there's the aspect that you know, like, I mean, I don't like to preach to people based on my religion. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm concerned that if I find out it's invalid, if I change my mind or whatever, you know, there should be other arguments that affect their change and their opinion and on how the world should be, that isn't based upon my superstitious belief system.
It seems like though,
you know what I'm saying?
It seems like though, if that's true, it's almost like you're saying we should all be able to approach this debate from a humanistic point of view and reach the truth. What would be the point of a faith if that truth can be reached from a humanistic point of view, A, and then B, is it possible for people to actually put aside their faith and just somehow talk about these things from a point of view that actually isn't theirs?
Right. But I don't want to say like, okay, well, in the Bible it says this, because that claim is totally invalid to the person who doesn't believe the valid book. You know, the Bible is valid.
Okay, well, there's two things here. Well, first of all, I think, you know, as far as the clashes of religions and things go, that's all provided for us. You know, that's a very intentional ploy, because I do think that the end of this, what's coming up, World War III, what they call this Great War, like Albert Pike said, you know, with the Manzini thing, whether that's real or not, it's a hell of an idea, is basically to infiltrate and pin these religions against each other, so at the end of it, they can have this atheistic religion, a super state, rise out of the ashes of it. So right. So George Bush isn't a Christian, but they've convinced everybody in the whole country in the world that the reason that he's doing all this stuff and causing all these wars because a Christian doesn't know what he's doing, but he's obviously not a Christian.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But we've bought into the lie, and then we've been able to go tell everybody, you know, it's damn religions and damn this and that, and they infiltrated the Muslims too. And the Jews aren't even the Jews. I mean, in the sense that they are. They are New World Order. Their government is New World Order in the same way our government's New World Order, but they don't represent the Torah believing Jews any more than George Bush represents the Bible believing Christians.
Right.
So
right.
All we have is just this a mirror of these things going on. And at the same time, you say, well, the religion just really shouldn't make any difference. And, you know, to this I'll say, for a lot of different types of religions, it's that it should make any difference, because there's nothing essentially to add to the debate.
Right.
Okay, and I mean this in a sense like this. I mean, if indeed my religion is true, just in the sense that the Bible is true, which is my religion,
right.
Essentially, I mean, you know, but just the example of the prophecy. I mean, 25% of that book was prophecy at the time it was written. It's not argued by skeptics or anybody else.
Right.
And the reason that you don't have – I've never heard a skeptic say, hey, this prophecy didn't come true, or that prophecy – I've never heard that. And right. The reason is because it's never missed.
Right.
I mean, you would think that skeptics would bring that up from time to time, you know. But that prophecy didn't come true, but that – it's never used. I mean, they use everything in the book except for – you know, these prophecies didn't come true. So that's in and of itself a reason to say, hey, everybody, got your hand raised. It's like, this book has been pretty much calling the future out this whole time.
Right.
Maybe we should look at it, you know. And I think that in that regard, now, of course, the worldly viewpoints that we have is like, yeah, you're just trying to, you know, whatever, you know, the arguments. Right. But it's a valid point.
But also, you know, I guess because my position is that freedom benefits everybody. It doesn't matter your religious system. I that's why I don't like Zeitgeist, because I don't feel like it preaches freedom. I feel like it preaches a certain idealism, and there's no freedom in that. It has to, in order to succeed, it must have certain things accomplished, one of which is the elimination of religion. You know, there's been religious battles for time immemorial. People have been going at each other's necks. This God's real. No, that God's real. Here, I'm going to cut off your head. No, I'm going to shoot you here, there, but, you know, whatever. Yeah, there's been wars. I've heard ridiculous claims made. And, you know, and things are evolving and people are changing in terms of what is, you know, religion's changing. I mean, within Christianity alone, there's so many denominations that all think each other are going to hell. It's ridiculous.
Now, I will just add a little defense for Christian denominations and say that most denominations that I am aware of do not think other denominations are going to hell. Okay, well, that's okay. My caveat. I'm just throwing that in there.
But the denominations that you're referring to are probably Protestant. Because they're still kind of all in the same.
Yeah, but I know I know Catholics that don't think Protestants are going to hell.
Yeah, well, my point being is that you know, freedom. If we were to just focus purely on the idea of freedom, which is, hey, in order for us all to be free and enjoy the belief systems that we believe are true, we need to extend to others the same freedoms that we need in order to appreciate our lifestyle.
Constitution rocks.
Exactly.
That's why we got it.
That's exactly why I'm so constitutionalist. You know,
it's so biblical. It's like the most biblical document, you know, other than the Bible.
Right. You know, that's what I always tell people. Right. It's like, okay, Christianity, for example, you're telling people you don't want them to cuss over the air. Okay, there's a problem with that. God gave people the right to do things so vicious, like kill and everything else. He had the power to stop it. He didn't. Right? You know what I'm saying? He had the power to do all these things. He gave people free will. Free will is freedom. And
but I also would suggest that there is a misnomer about the many wars, too, because, I mean, from looking at Christian history, as far as I understand it to be, they never really did anything but get killed. I mean, for the 300 years of their first years, they were just getting completely wiped out by Rome. I mean, they kept spreading despite it. And then when the Catholic Church took over, they just kept killing them because, I mean, well, there was off times, depending on who the Pope was, but, I mean, if they wouldn't do different things, I mean, they wanted them to believe something that was completely other than the Bible, and they never let them read the Bible, and they spoke all the services in Latin. So for 1600, 1400 years anyway, nobody actually knew what was in the Bible. And then they were out doing fighting wars and crusades and all this stuff. And the crusades killed almost like 50 million Christians, you know. And then we have this perception that, oh, well, they were just out killing witches and starting wars with the Muslims and the Jews and what. No, they
killed anybody Christians who wasn't Catholic.
Right. It was like the people that followed the teachings of Jesus have always been underground. It always been underground. And the perceptions has always been if you were to ask if evil was real and he really was afraid of people with the authority of this guy, then of course he would infiltrate the machine and call it Christian and then do all the dirty work of the world through that system.
Right.
Because all it would do is create animosity for that system.
Right.
It's win-win in that regard.
Right, understandable. And, you know, I'm not saying this to come down on Christians. I'm saying this to bring home a point, and I guess the point is getting lost. the point I was trying to make is that in order for us, to engage in a debate, in a battle with what's coming about, which the Zeitgeist idea is growing fast. I mean, and we know sure. where the roots of it are, and we could expose the roots all we want. You know, even me, I was going to chat boards, and I was having, there were so many Freemasons there, it was ridiculous. I mean, they're getting, it's a ripe recruiting ground, I'm telling you. Because I say that, you know, these people who are ruling the world, they look at everybody like sheep. Who more has the same idealism than the so-called truth movement? Then you're constantly walking around looking at everybody like they're sheep. I mean, and if they can be sold this idea that there's some kind of divine knowledge, have some kind of superior intellectual properties that are instilled in them that they just you know what I'm saying? Then they're ripe for recruitment. And I think that's what's going on.
Truth.
You know, Zeitgeist has brought tons of people into the fold.
Hidden knowledge is the thing that has got us from day one. We always have been after hidden knowledge, and so it's such a snare.
Yeah.
And we can pretty much be led to any slaughter under that carrot on the string.
But would you agree that, you know, obviously going to people like this and quoting Bible verses is going to be completely ineffective? I mean, I really believe that. I believe that their mind is so made up that religion is the enemy, that to use religion as a recruitment form is rendering yourself useless. I mean, we have to be able to do it outside of that. And the principle of freedom alone can destroy this idea. I mean,
as you've probably found, like, a few things here, you know, just in talking to me, that probably the perceptions of, I mean, you know, you're coming from a Bill Cooper standpoint anyway, but, you know, where the perceptions is what's broken about Christianity. And so people say, I can't listen to any Christianity because they've been trained to hate it.
Right.
And so if none of it's true, none of the training is true, all the protocols are wrong, then instead of just trying to find a new way, it validates it by their extreme devotion to trying to find ways to discredit it, which means that it would work. It does work. And that's why they're so damn scared of it.
Right.
That's
have you been successful? Have you been very successful in it, though? I mean, obviously you're getting the attention of people who have a like mind. You know, there are some of them out there who see what's going on. And I did a teaching called
every day saying I was the biggest Michael Tesorian junkie. I was all in it. I was starting to do this. I was already knee deep, and I had my tarot card deck, and I was joining mystery schools. And then I saw your movies, and then it all just kicked me in the gut, and here I am. And not only did they come back and like, wow, I did not know this, but they also come back extremely not only empowered, but they understand the nature of the deception, which makes them very aware of the seriousness of the situation too, knowing how clever the deception is.
Wow.
And so I think I've been rather successful.
Okay, I'm impressed. I didn't know that. So, you know, I just imagine that, you know, from my experience, it's just been, I don't know, for me, it's been an issue where I have come from the position that okay, you know, if you don't want to play talk about religion, you don't want to bring that into the scenario, then let's not bring it into the scenario. I'll do that because there's still enough, I think, damning evidence against these idealisms. I mean, if you don't want to bring religion into the scenario, then you shouldn't believe in this because it's born out of a religion. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is a religion that you are embracing here, whether you know it or not.
True, you know what I'm saying? what if ultimately it was the truth? Then our whole search for the truth would be in vain if we have eliminated a potential cause,
right?
Out of hand, you know. Then because let's just throw any of those potential causes out and let's just look through what we have here. Mm-hmm. But what if it was true? Then you've eliminated a potential cause. It's not the scientific method,
right?
You know,
right,
it's dogma.
Uh huh. Well, I understand that. I'm personally not against the idea of bringing religion into it, because I think religion is part of the debate. I mean, if you're seeking truth, truth could be a religion. Truth could be a god or no god, or, you know, the idea that there's aliens, or, you know, that bugs that can talk. Who knows? I mean, if you're looking for truth, you have to be willing to accept everything, and you have to be willing to investigate it, debunk it, and then move on from there and go to something else once you've settled the issue. And I don't doubt that there's going to be times where people just are not going to see eye to eye. But at the same time, like, you know, I just don't. I'm trying. All I'm thinking about, and this is just my heart, because, you know, my website's called Truth, Love, and Freedom. I believe in seeking truth above all things. I believe in love is the most powerful thing, regardless of where you believe the source of that it comes from. And then I believe in freedom. You know what I'm saying? And if I don't want to, if people are saying, hey, I'm willing to talk to you, I'm willing to engage in this debate, but don't bring God into the scenario, I'll say, all right, I'll do that. And I feel
sure,
like that's for the large, you know, I think that's what's happening these days. And a lot of it has to do with the influence of you know, Maxwell and everybody else, because they've basically been taught that, you know, it's a big hoax, you know, and since that's the case, they don't even want to hear about it. So, you know, I just say, you know what, let's keep religion out of it. Let's see if we can talk about other things
sure,
here.
But then it does beg the question, though, if the entire system is concerned about really only debunking one religion, they go to extreme lengths to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And just read the protocols for, like, you know, trauma-based mind control and stuff. They have revulsion therapy for, you know, people, you know, a multiple will open the Bible and have programs to, like, get nauseous when they do it and stuff like that. They're so scared of it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it like, hey, you know, this is interesting. There's something important here. And so, to me, It's almost in its own way it's where the it kept leading me as far as research goes.
Right. So you, as far as you're concerned, this is the truth, and so you have to stick with it. Is that
yeah? I mean, I'm open to anything, man. I'll have to do a whole show with you, and you can just throw every thing that you got, you know, as far as that kind of stuff. You know, the stuff. Well, I can't believe it because of this and this and this.
Right.
And I bet in so many cases it'd be like, oh, you know, I never thought about that. I mean.
Right.
It's just so many of those things are like red herrings or just
right.
misinformed stuff,
you know,
that's
honestly,
not even in the Bible.
To be perfectly honest with you, I have no problem against Christianity at all. And if you were Islamic and you were talking about preaching Islam and you were using the New World Order as a basis for that, I'd have the same conversation with you. Like I said, my whole motivation here is that I'm just concerned, you know, because I'm just basically what I'm concerned about, and I'll be straightforward with you, is that there's very few of us that really, I feel like, know what's going on. I feel a lot of these people are being led astray, and I feel like in order for us to be effective, we have to do what they're doing, which is team up and start debunking this crap, because people's minds are being deceived. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is that my perception about it is that we're going to reach – we can, and I feel like we should put religion aside for now. You know, you could always come back to your religion later, but just deal with the subject at hand. Deal with it from the perspective that they're coming from. And I feel like if you attach religion to the message, you're going to ostracize yourself from what could be potential minds being saved on a broader scale. Because, I mean, boil it down or not, you know, to what – I mean religion is – I think is probably the most important thing. I mean, it is for me. I really believe in that. But I also believe that, you know, embodiment of love and realizing that what's going on in the world today and people – the suffering that's coming, the what I'm very fearful of what's about to happen. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's going to be good for a lot of people. And, you know, I'm more concerned with just trying to wake people up to that reality and to bring religion into it. I feel like it's just – if we had more time and we continue to work on it, yeah, perhaps, you know – You could
it's
through
funny
religion,
because I see it exactly the opposite. I used to, when I first started Revere, I was convinced I was not going to bring up the religious stuff at all. It was just going to be a conspiracy stuff show. And as it got down to the wire, as I kept growing and learning and learning and learning, and my thoughts now is I can't not mention it. It's too close. There's too much at stake.
Right.
There's too much going on for me to hold back anymore.
Right.
It's the truth. I'm not apologizing for it, and they've got to know it. It's the
right.
thing. It's the only thing that the New World Order is scared of
right.
is true Christianity, and they've made it so nobody even knows what a true Christian even looks or sounds or smells like anymore. So
right.
that's my contention.
Yeah, I totally understand that, and I respect you for it, bro. I mean, definitely stand your ground, and I really think it's awesome. Don't think that I think badly about it. I've been kind of like, ever since I've been listening to your show, and I know that we're of like mind to a degree. I always wanted to hit you up about it because it's kind of, I've had the same ideas, and I don't know if we're that far along. I don't know when the end game is going to actually hit, but. My goal is to try to, I guess, take another route outside of religion and try to argue the other points, because I feel like if I attach religion, there's definitely people who will not listen to you. You know,
and there's
saying?
A place for
and
that,
maybe,
definitely.
Maybe that's,
because I mean, you're definitely trying to show people the right stuff. You know all the stuff. I mean, I'm telling you. I guess I was defending my point there, but what I should have said rightly is that there is an entire. You can reach people that I can't reach that are on the edge of possibly understanding this stuff that will not hear from me.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have to hear it from you. They at that point, you get them to the train station. They can go wherever they go from there. But that's you can fish them out of the deep parts of the pond. You know,
right? I definitely can. I can argue the occult stuff under the table. There's so many things that are ethically wrong. Like I had that interview with the Freemason. I thought this was really ironic, but. You know, we were talking about, how Freemasonry kind of hooks people in and they kind of deceive them and tell them it's not this when it really is this. I mean, you start out and they always say, no, it's not this. We don't teach anything, blah, blah, blah. But when they get to the end of the show, they're always like, yeah, okay, we teach stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because I know enough about them to prove that they teach stuff. And they just kind of let loose and they go, okay, yeah, we teach stuff. But, and then I say, well, but it's the means by which you're doing it. You're actually admittingly deceiving people into this belief system. How can you sit there and proclaim that this is a righteous or good institution who's making good men better or whatever when the whole essence behind it is deceptive and destructive? You know what I'm saying? Where you're not
sure.
interested in whether or not the person chooses it. You're trying to force it upon them like a doctrine. You're indoctrinating these people. And, you know, and basically what it boils down to is, well, we believe in it, so we think it's okay. You know, that's what I always get from
sure.
them. Oh, when it boils down to it, they think, hey, there's nothing wrong with it because, well, I believe in it, so it's okay. You know, I'm okay with being deceived into it. I'm okay with these little tricks that they do. I like them because ultimately I'm in agreement with
That's what it comes down to, and you're going to start to see that a lot more with the Zeitgeist Addendum stuff. I can start to see the – especially since the Blavatsky stuff and Alex Jones went off on that, I'm really starting to see it. Once it's presented with people and they see that the New World Order is actually wanting to do just that very thing,
mm-hmm.
but they can't – they've made up their minds already that they will never – what I'm saying is that when this all comes down – it's mm-hmm. going to be black and white, no gray.
Right.
People are going to make decisions and knowingly believe things that they know to be lies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm starting to see that. I'm starting to see people cross their arms and say, all right, even if it's a lie, I'm believing it.
I mean,
it's almost to that point where people are like, so what? I'm believing it.
Right, right.
You know?
Let me ask you something. What do you say? I hear this all the time from people. What do you say in response to people who say that that the New World Order, it likes religious belief systems like Christianity because it makes them believe that it's God's will that these things are going to happen and there's nothing they can do about it?
Well, it goes different ways. People say a lot of times that's somehow – I can't find the logic in it saying it's going to happen and so therefore there's no resistance because – the people that I know, like Bill Cooper and the people that I know that are fighting this the most are all Christians.
Right.
And so it doesn't add up, from my experience. And I think that the reason is because of that commandment to love your neighbor. I think that because that's like an inherent part of true Christianity and it's just an inborn thing, that I think that it's impossible to just sit down and let it go. The churches might. The churches are probably all waiting for their rapture or whatever, but they're dead. They're dead bones. This whole thing is been corrupted to the point of they're just about dead. I mean, there was hope for them, but I mean, when this all comes down, they are going to be the ones that are going to be persecuting the Christians the most.
Right, right.
You know, to me, so that's what I'm saying, is they have an argument when they point at control mechanisms, say, look at the Catholic Church and the control mechanism, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it is. Look at any Catholic school. I mean, that's mind control 101.
Mm-hmm.
They can make that stuff stick because it's true to a certain degree.
Right.
And the same thing with pointing at the sun symbolism in Catholic churches or crosses or halos or anything like that and saying, look, there it is, proof. It's like, that's not proof.
Right.
You know, that's just proof that they added that later on because they are sun worshippers and they merged it with it, you know. So,
right.
So I guess it always works because they have something true to back it up with. But I don't see any evidence as far as, you know, how it's all playing out that would in any way make anybody lay down, you know.
Right, right. Well, let me ask you something, too. And I'm asking you a lot in terms of religion because I think it's a pretty valid thing. And I think I haven't really heard anybody ask you these questions before. And I've always been wondering. I hope people listening and you know, the people who are going to hear this podcast had the same questions. So, so it's not just me. But, there's people who are saying things like, okay, you know, the religious aspect of the world is a – you know, or say the church system, the established religions, are basically forms of indoctrination. They're teaching things like you got people like the what's the 700 Club guy, Pat Robertson. Okay, sure. Pat Robertson he was pro Bush and pushing. He's always pushing the Republican platform and this and that and all the the war in Iraq and all this stuff. I mean, obviously there's some validity to the fact that some Christians like. You know, it doesn't matter what war against Islam that occurs, they're going to support it because as far as they're concerned, the people of Islam are a satanic faith. You know, there are those people. I've met them myself. You know, there's Zionists.
I have a
friend of mine who has a Israeli flag hanging in his house, okay, because he believes that they're God's chosen people. When you hear these things, there is validity to it. So how do you make sense of that? I mean, do you think, are you pro-Israel, or do you believe, you know what I'm saying, like, where are you coming from on this? Do you believe church establishment, or what do you call it,
You still there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Check, 1, 2, 1, 2, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Okay, cool. On the first part about the Pat Robertson and the mind control and stuff like that, agreed, 100%. A lot of that is, I mean, that's just TV mind control.
Right.
You know, Fox News and all that stuff is just Nazism as far as I'm concerned in most cases, and they're really good at propaganda and stuff. So they can incite anybody to do damn near anything, depending on, and they can do the same thing with the, quote, liberals or whatever. You know, they can get anybody to do anything as long as they got their attention.
Right.
You know, and so that's why you see a lot of that. I got no complaints of that. It's absolute mind control. I do think Pat Robertson probably is, you know, there's a lot of questions about him being a Freemason and all this stuff. I think a lot of those times, especially the television evangelists and people like that, I think are not just mere black sliders or anything. I think in a lot of cases they are literally part of a very networked group of people that do that on purpose. In some cases, they are mind controlled, where they would have an altar that is this, you know, Christian altar, but they do. It's a long story. I don't know how far you follow that kind of stuff as far as, you know.
I've heard it before, but yeah.
But anyway, so on that kind of stuff, yeah, I'm all about it. As far as the Israel thing, there is really that is a very key element to what they're about to do, and so it's very important. And they've got a layer upon layer of propaganda. My personal position is support of Jewish people that believe in the Torah, but not of the government of Israel. I mean, if the Bible is true, then there's no reason whatsoever to support the government of Israel. I mean, they've gone astray more than a few times. And also, that whole thing about, you know, those who bless the Lord will bless, and the reason to support Israel in a military way is completely not true. I mean, the whole idea of blessing them is an idea of, you know, loving them as opposed to supporting the military at all. I mean, God continually didn't need any help in the Bible. He made it very clear, I got their back. You know, I don't need your... You know, and not to mention wars in the first place. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as doing that kind of thing. But so anyway, do I think that the government is totally infiltrated as much or more than the U.S. government as far as what we would term New World Order? Absolutely. Is the New World religion and order going to be set up in Jerusalem? You betcha. They're going to do everything they can. And partially, what are the reasons that they incite this idea of it's the Jews and the Jews is this, because it's true. I mean, they've made it very easily accessible for people to find out the Rothschilds and this and they're behind it and the Jews and the Jew system, whatever. And they even do the same kind of thing with Russia. And the reason is, it, like, they had a lot of stuff with Georgia. Obviously, you know, the head of the thing was, you know, the Israel guy, and they had a lot of Israel connections. And they would conveniently make sure that they knew that all this armed stuff was coming from Israel. And, you know, I mean, if we know about it, Russian intelligence knows about it. So right. Russia sees that as that. It's all part of this inciting thing, because I honestly believe that the only people that are persecuted more than the Christians are the Jews. And except the only thing that they've done is they've incited the same way that they've got everybody to hate Christians. They've done even more with the Jews. And then they do have this really slick thing that they do, where every politician in America has to say, I'm a Christian, and has to say, I support Israel. But, right. But they do the exact opposite. Like, they say, we're going to build up a fence on the borders, but then they actually do the opposite of that.
Right.
It's the same thing that they do with Israel. They say, yeah, we're supporting Israel. We'll support them at all costs. Nuke everybody that – nuke Iran, blah, blah, blah. But what they do is they fund their enemies to the absolute teeth.
Right.
I mean, I saw an article that in the news media is completely in on this. Mm-hmm. You can go to the AP Newswire at any given point of the day, type in Israel or Palestine or whatever, and all of the articles, there will be a lot of articles, and they'll all be like either very subtly or outright anti-Israel. But then we have this mindset that we're so pro-Israel because our politicians continually tell us that they are.
Right.
But I saw this. I'm sorry, I'm going off.
No.
I saw this article the other day, mm-hmm. where they made it big thing, and Rents, of course, did its, you know, D's illustration or whatever, that America spent, you know, what was it, like $13 million in support of Israel war or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then what they didn't report was the $90 billion that they just gave to their biggest enemy, Saudi Arabia, in weapons contracts.
Right.
You know? So they make sure, you know, that about the $13 million they gave them, and they just don't tell you about the $90 billion to Saudi Arabia. And they keep doing that over and over and over again. I honestly believe that they're building – they're trying – that the reason they brought the Jews to Israel is to have them all in one place to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Barry Chomish and other people, the reason that they have left Israel is because that's what they think this whole thing was, is because they hate them so much that they wanted to eliminate them, as evidenced by Hitler and everything. That's an right. ideology that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so their plan was to bring them to one place to kill them all.
Right.
So that's why there's almost 100,000 rockets pointed at Israel right now, and why there's no logical reason for that country to survive.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. Wow. Yeah, I it's interesting. He's like, you know, I feel like, I mean, the reason I'm asking all these questions, it may seem unrelated to the whole zeitgeist thing, but, you know, ultimately when we get down to the whole zeitgeist thing and this whole new idea of what the New World Order is and what the future should be that is coming into the movement, and, you know, it's because we need to understand these things. These are the things that are separating us from each other. That's what I think. And I sure. don't care what anybody says. Like, I listened to this one guy the other day on the radio, and he was basically saying, you know, oh, we have to all be our own leaders, and, you know, we just believe what you believe, do your own research, and just live the way you believe it to be. Nah, you know, let's get real here. Separation does not take down the powers of this country. It just does not. No,
sure.
You know what I'm saying? It takes a brush fire of ideas that go into the minds of people and light their hearts on fire that makes them take action. So this idea that we're all just going to remain separate and everything's going to be okay, I think is a foolish concept. It's never been true in history, and it probably never will be. Every leader in the world that has ever been, that we look at, I mean, everyone talks about how Martin Luther King, Gandhi, all these people have done all these great things, but if you look at it, these people only were able to do good things because they had thousands of people behind them. You know what I'm saying? That one guy trying to do stuff wouldn't have accomplished crap if it wasn't for the people who were willing to support him. People say, oh, it's a following. No, it's not a following. It's a support system. It's saying this.
But he wouldn't have had the support system if he didn't have truth.
Right, exactly. And he set the brush – you know, he's the one that set their hearts on fire because he was speaking truth. And you know what I'm saying? And so there's this idea going around that, you know, that everything's going to be all right. I totally in a disagreement with that. I think that what there needs to be is – there needs to be a crossroads, and I'm actually hoping, I'm thinking about hitting up Rob about doing another show where the whole premise of the show is just to get different people within the truth movement who are trying to take lead, you know, whether or not they're leaders or not, but people who are out there trying to spread the truth to come on and to just debate, fully debate, talk about stuff, you know, what I believe, why I believe it, where's my reasoning here, what, you know what I'm saying? Because that's the way we're going to come together, I think. I mean, it could have the opposite effect, but I think that you know, not doing it, we're going to have the opposite effect no matter what. So, I mean, I wonder, are you in agreement with that? I mean, I think that, honestly, you've probably, as far as I've seen over the internet, I've kind of searched around and stuff, I think you've taken pretty much a lot of wrath for saying the things that you have, because there's a lot of people who follow Tessarion and Maxwell and, you know, and they're kind of going along with this whole anti-religious zeal. And
sure.
You know.
Well, interesting thing that you said was that, you know, it's important to, you know, the whole unity thing and everything. Well, that's what I get that a lot, you know, that I am trying to divide the truth movement and I'm some kind of, you know, agent here right. to divide us all up. But the point is, if indeed we all are all following a sure way to a cliff, mm-hmm. and you would want to divide that party of sheep. Say, hey guys, whoa, I'm trying to divide you. Yes, yeah. I am trying to divide you. The truth is that if you go that way, you're going to fall off that. You right. know, so I don't think that a lot of people really want to continue. And ultimately, that's what, you know, I said at the end of this movie. It was just that the problem is that the truth, the lies that mm-hmm. they're offering us, the New World Order, is actually a lie that we would want and prefer to believe. Mm-hmm. So that's why this is just impossible to some extent. And that's why there's so much backlash, just because – and it's so obvious sometimes. Like, well, it's just not there. Just look it up. It's like, no, it's got to be, you know, because I want it to be. That's right. The hardest thing, is like pulling teeth because they want to believe what the New World Order wants them to believe. Right.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to kick it out there. If anybody wants to call in real quick, 1-877-REVERE-0. That's 1-877-738-3730. I should have said that several times by now, but this has been a very interesting conversation with you. And, you know, I understand what you're saying, and I totally agree with that. And I think that – but I think that there's other people in the movement who are going the opposite direction to you, and they think you're going off a cliff. So I think what the sheep need to do is stop what they're doing. Stop taking action just for a little while, because our actions are ineffective without each other. And
well,
just get, come together.
There's some people
talk.
That have it on their heart to fight the vaccine thing or the fluoride thing or whatever, and you know, they don't need to take it. You know, they don't. They just need to
it.
You know,
right,
obviously,
right.
that's there's so many issues out there that if somebody's got, you know, something about, then like 9/11 or whatever, if that's your thing, then you know, you don't have to bring any of the you know, it's mm-hmm. any ideology into any of that. It's just warning people, waking people up to save people's lives.
Right.
You know, in the case of vaccines and fluoride and all the stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I agree with you.
See a lot of that as just productive.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. You know, that there's definitely stuff out there that, you know, I'm not talking about everything. I'm just talking about, you know, especially in terms of, we need to figure out what we need to come together and come to the final conclusion on what this New World Order is. What is it? You know what I'm saying? The people who are running it seem to like they like to preach that it's this great world. That it's going to be great. Good. Trust me, you're going to like it. You know what I'm saying? They always talk about what a great – the new order is always changing. It's evolving, but it's getting better, you know?
Well, I'll tell you how I found out, you know, what made it all work. Because if you're like me, you know, I was basically – had a lot of these things going different places and a lot of research that – you know, I knew a lot about a lot of different things about the New World Order.
Right.
But none of them – it didn't. There wasn't any unification theory, you know. There wasn't like anything that tied them all together. I just had to have like separate ideologies about how to incorporate this anomaly into mm-hmm. the whole, you know. There was, and I was a Christian, you know. I mean, I had that mindset, so it wasn't like it was just, you know. I just, you know, I still needed answers for everything.
Right.
And it wasn't until I found a guy called Russ Dizdar that it just like all went on. Everything clicked. All the loose ends that I had just tied themselves together, and it made sense because it explains the hive mind, explains the different anomalies, explains all the different things, all in this guy's I don't know what you would call it, ministry, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But he's just, I mean, he's just a Christian, but he's just a very productive one. And mm-hmm. and he's a deliverance minister primarily, you know, I mean, as far as, you know, dealt a lot with demonic stuff and whatever, but this guy made it all fit for me. I'll just throw that out there if anybody's listening. Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net.
Okay, cool. Awesome. I think I'm going to go ahead and call it quits here in a second. Can you give your information out for anybody who wants to listen to your show, go to your website and all that stuff?
Sure. NowhereToRunRadio.com is the website. And, you know, I think a lot of the stuff I've been doing, I mean, the podcast is there, but there's links to different shows, Frank and Chris Show and the Full Armor of God, and also the YouTube site. A lot of stuff going on there. So
sorry about my kid screaming in the background. I think she's getting a little tired.
No, it's not good.
Well, anyways, yeah, thanks for coming on the show, man. It's been a very awesome conversation, and I definitely want to have you on again and talk some more about it because, like I said, I feel pretty lonely out here as far as like what I believe is going on in the world, and I think that me and you see eye to eye a lot more than most people these days. Yeah.
And if there's anything at all that I can do as far as you know, help with something or you know whatever it is, don't hesitate to email me and ask me. I'll do everything I can. For the most part, I got all the time in the world to try to deal with a lot of this stuff. So
okay, awesome.
At least lately, anyway.
All right, thanks a lot for you coming on the show and talking to us about your ideas about things and. Hopefully you'll be tuned in for the Venus project. This is
going to
be a fascinating conversation, I'm sure. All right, bro. Have a good one.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care.